to have been with you, and like he said, we're leaving after supper to get to Oklahoma. My oldest granddaughter's getting married, and we're looking forward to that. We're going to take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 127, and I've asked my children, you know, parents all make mistakes. We weren't perfect parents. I can remember grabbing one of my, I think it was Gary, giving him a spanking, and then when I asked questions, I found out that he wasn't the one, you know. And I said, what do you do when you do something like that? You tell him you're sorry, you ask them to forgive you. You know, kids are pretty forgiving. And but we've asked our children, you know, why are you serving the Lord? Because, you know, and one of the things that our children say is because we saw that God was real. Your children have got to experience that God is real and have a relationship with them. We taught, of course, family altar, but we taught them there to read their Bibles and pray before, you know, they came for breakfast, that the spiritual food was more important. And when we started the church, we started by faith and foolishness. Sometimes there's not too far between the two, but we didn't have the financial support, so we prayed earnestly. And I think sometimes, you know, when missionaries have $7,000, you know, a month support or whatever, and the money's coming in, whether they do anything or not, you know, it's when you're pressured and up against it, and you really got to see God do something, you know. And so sometimes our money works against us, you know. But the other thought I ask our children is, why are you serving the Lord? I said, well, you taught us to work. My parents were workaholics, and we didn't have money, but I raised a big garden. We had like 7 or 8 acres of garden, and the children had to hoe and weed 2 rows every day. And the kids say, yeah, but you didn't tell them that they were 225 feet long, you know. But we tried to make work fun, and they all had to work. I think that children are not taught to do anything today, and there's nothing to do. Why would you want to have a dishwasher? You know, we had Rose, April, Gary, Mark, you know. There's hardly anything for the kids to do, and so you have to try to be creative. But let's read our scripture, and we'll have a prayer. My wife's not in here to help me when I don't remember, so I'm a little bit nervous, you know. But she's working with the children in the nursery, so I'm on my own up here. So pray for me. The Lord will be with me. All right. Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of who? They're not your children. I think that's something we want to hold on to things. Say, this is mine. No. It's that child was given to you, loaned to you by God, to rear and to raise. We don't have as many missionaries today because parents want them to be close. Well, to go visit April from Atlanta, it's 5,013 miles to land in Buenos Aires, and then you drive 7 hours south to get to Bahia Blanca, Argentina, where 4 of my grandchildren are. You know, we're glad to serve, and they're serving the Lord. That's what we reared them for. And so children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, that the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. A couple, last verse in Psalm 129. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, you've given us an often awesome responsibilities to try to rear our children for the Lord. We know the temptations and the evils of the day, but we still believe, God, that you're able to rear children, to live a holy life, and to love you. And we pray that you'd give me wisdom, Lord, to say the things that we ought to say, to remember when we had children, and just help us to not say anything we shouldn't say. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is just a simple observation that I've had. I've found that Canadians, on the whole, are a lot nicer than Americans. That's been our experience. And of course, I was born in America. I chose to become a Canadian, and I thank God I'm a citizen of heaven. But being too nice is not a good thing for your children. Oh, little precious, you know. And no! Kids look up like, that sounds like the voice of authority. Oh, little honey, that's not going to cut it. No. They say, well, what do you do if they don't? Come up here, Leland, for just a minute. Right here. Leland said I could beat up on him, and he promised he wouldn't hurt me. And so I just wanted to make that clear before. But, you know, you don't have to give them a spanking, but they do need to be trained. It's not talk up your children the way they should go. It's train. I talked to you about remember the Speedy with the shock collar? When you tell them no and they go ahead and do it.
Ow.
Did it sting a little bit?
Yeah, a little.
A little. Okay, well, you know, he's a big guy, but a little child, you know, just take two fingers. Ow. And it stings a little bit. And the children know. You're training them. What no is. We never, thank you, Leland. Appreciate you. Pray for Leland in this court case, and we've been praying for him. Lord, give him victory. But we trained our children, and we never moved anything off the little tables. We didn't lock up everything. We taught them and trained them. And if they did it again, you have to be consistent. You can't say no one time, and then the next time let it go. Mom and Dad, you have to work together. One can't be the heavy and the other, you know, just lets them do whatever they want to do. You both got to work together and be consistent in your discipline. Now, our passage that we read here, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, before we had any children, we prayed that God would give us children, and we promised to rear them for the Lord. We told them they'll never be in a public school. We'll teach them and train them, like you say in Deuteronomy 6, and we'll train them to serve you. So as soon as we got children, ever since they were little, we always encouraged them and told them they were going to Bible college, you know. And we always had a plan that they're going to serve the Lord. A lot of children aren't being called by the Lord because they never get to a position where they can hear God's voice. And we need to pray daily, you men. We need to pray daily, Lord, help me to be more sensitive to my wife. Help me to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I sense the Spirit's leading. You know in Isaiah chapter 6, that great passage where he saw the Lord, you know, high and holy lifted up, and he saw the Lord, you know. Isaiah just preached 6 woes against the nation, but then he said the 7th woe, woe is me. And you know, remember, the angel took that coal of fire off the altar, and he was cleansed. So he saw the Lord high and holy and lifted up. He got right with the Lord. And that's when he heard the voice of the Lord, who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. A lot of young people never get to the place where they can hear God's voice. That's why we always had them at camp. We always had them at church. We always tried to prepare them to hear God's voice. Now, I sometimes just get up and wing it. And I want to try to follow my notes because I probably will forget things, but What I'm talking about is prayer. I've got a bunch of points, 12 points. They all start with P. I wish I had some kind of magic bullet. I really don't feel qualified at all to be up here talking about rearing children, because children have been gone so long. You know, in our house, we got grandchildren and 18 grandchildren. By the way, I haven't told you. I've been pastoring for the last 4 years. You know, all my meetings with COVID hit canceled, a deacon called me, Doug, and asked me if I would come and fill in some for him, because they didn't have a pastor. And as clear as day, God said, why don't you pastor the church? Boom. Well, I was on the phone. Well, that upset me, because I didn't plan on ever pastoring the church again. You know, as a pastor, you have to put up with deacons. Now, my three deacons I love, and they're great people, and they had problems with them. But, you know, as a pastor, you know, you as a deacon, as evangelist, you know, it's kind of a different situation. But you preach, and then you move on, you know. But anyway, after praying about it 30 days, I talked to the deacons. I told them, I said, I think God wants me to come and pastor the church, but I want you to pray about it for 2 weeks. I don't want you to talk to anybody about it. And then they took it to the church, and they had a unanimous vote. And it's not a big church, 170 years old. It's out on a gravel road, 8 miles from town. And on a good Sunday, you know, we'll have 50 people. We've had, I think, close to 70 on a, you know, special day or something. But that's where we're at right now. That's what we're doing. It's right by my mom. My mom's 98. I'm trying to help my mom and encourage my mom. My sister died of cancer. My brother lives in Atlanta, and he's here. We flew him up. He's here right now with mom because I'm gone and going to the wedding. So anyway, I wanted to make sure I told you about that. You know, Jeremiah says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. We have to ask and desire that our children will live for the Lord. I think we have to have spiritual wisdom. If you're going to rear your children for the Lord, you're going to have to get wisdom from God on how to do it. And so how do we get wisdom? Well, the Bible says, you know, if we'll pray, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so we need to pray and ask God for wisdom. Proverbs, turn over to Proverbs 2, and if we're going to have wisdom, we have to seek for it. You don't just wake up one day and be wise. You have to seek for wisdom in rearing children. We read a lot of books on rearing children, and we tried to learn about it. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, apply thy heart unto understanding, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If he seeketh her as silver. If we would seek to have God's wisdom like we seek money, we'd be a lot wiser. And so we have to get wisdom. As different things come to my mind, I'm just going to tell you, because I'm trusting the Lord to help me on this. One of the big things I see that parents make a big mistake, and work with parents, if somebody's nice enough to come and tell you something your children did bad, don't defend your children. Thank the people that came, and then deal with your children. We had a teenage girl that I had a youth activity, and I was looking around. It was at a skating rink. It was a hockey rink, and we were skating, and I'm good at skating for one direction, but I don't know how to stop, and so I usually hurt myself running into the wall. But we skated up and down the river, but I never learned how to stop. You know, I don't know to do that move there, then spray the ice. You know, I never learned that. I just go straight ahead. But anyway, I was looking around. This teenage girl wasn't there. So I went outside, and there was another young fellow that had a truck, and they're laying down on top of each other on the back seat. The windows are all fogged up. So I told the parents. You know what the parents came to me and said, oh, my daughter said they were just talking. And they believed that. Well, you can talk without being in the back seat laying on each other. You know. So what happened to that girl? Well, she was married and divorced a number of times and had quite a number of affairs with married men, and it was a mess. They could have corrected. They could have listened. They could have disciplined. They could have, you know, got some wisdom and some help for their daughter. Instead of, they didn't listen to the pastor. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is pray and seek for wisdom and walk. Walk with people that have reared children. You know, Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men should be wise, but a companion of fools should be destroyed. And so we need to pray and ask God for wisdom and seek and try to walk with those that have walked down that road before. And Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear. We need to listen. Listen to the Lord. Listen to other people. Listen to your children. If you don't take time to listen to your children when they get old, they won't come to you with their problems because you don't listen anyway. You don't have any time. Take time. When your children come and it's some little bitty thing that you're not in, or, you know, you don't want to be bothered. You know that you've never asked God anything that's hard for God. Right? And so when little children have a little problem and they come to you, listen to them and help them so that you're developing a relationship. One of the keys of rearing your children for the Lord is that you got to win their hearts. My son, he had me as the best man in the wedding. You got to win their hearts. Now, that doesn't mean you want to be buddy-buddy. You're the parent. Be the parent. When we were pastoring, we were trying to get a choir going, and I told my two teenage boys, I said, you boys are going to be in the choir. Oh, Dad, we don't want to be in the choir. Why should we have to sing in the choir? I said, well, because God says we should praise the Lord. And because you're getting voice lessons. Because in the future, you may need that experience. You know, they didn't want to do it, but once my kids got in there, then some other young people got in there. And both of my boys have come to me at separate times later years and say, Dad, I'm sure glad you made us be in the choir. Kids don't know what they need. You're the parent. Don't try to be their buddy. Pray and look for opportunities with your children. So be the parent. Tell your children every day that you love them. Be affectionate with your children. I was always very affectionate with my boys and my girls. My boys are both bigger than me. Mark's 250 pounds, 6'3", and Gary's about 230 and 6'2". And they wouldn't think anything of Dad coming up and giving them a hug or a kiss. I always hugged my boys. And I always gave affection to my girls. We got three girls, and I always told them how pretty they were and how I loved them and always showed affection. Say, well, we didn't just come from a home like that. Well, get over it and show affection. If you don't show affection to your daughters, somebody else will give them some attention. And so I always showed a lot of love. We were from a very loving home. You know, I tell my wife I love her 20, or I don't know how many times a day, but all the time. You know, we need to be expressing our love. And the same thing with the Lord. I'm always telling the Lord, Jesus, I love you. What? Thank you for saving me. I just love you so much. And you got to set your affections on the Lord and on your wife and a husband, your children. So I had a lady I won to the Lord. The day I won her to the Lord, she had drank 24 beers. People think you're an alcoholic, you don't drink beer. Listen, a lot of alcoholics, that's all they drink is beer. She drank 6 beers a lot of time before she even got out of bed. Anyway, her name was Margaret, and wonderful girl. Nothing like, I'm not making reference to anybody else, but she was a troubled lady. And her dad died. She never had any relationship with her dad. And she just bawled and bawled and sobbed and carried on. So afterwards, I talked to her. I said, Margaret, why are you so hurt? She says, well, all my life, Pastor, I lived hoping my dad one time would tell me that he loved me. And he never did. And he died. You know, that's sad. Isn't that sad? Doesn't it make you feel good with one of your children or your grandchildren say, I love you? Huh? I mean, it makes you feel good. You know, I think That's one of the ways we can bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How can we bless the Lord? By loving him and keeping his commandments and trying to please him. Amen? And so, be the parent. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we won't turn there for time, but I think you know the passage. It's got the, we better turn there. It's got the passage that the Jews use the most. It's their most famous verse is found for that the Jews use in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And there it says, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I think that's the favorite verse that the Jews or the nation, you know, seems to use. Now, if you keep going, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, the only way you can do that is for you to be in tune with the Lord and be an example. This idea of don't do as I do, but do as I say, you know, that's never going to cut it. You've got to live the Christian life before them. So that they, you might fool a preacher, you might fool some other people, you're not going to fool your children. Now, I used to stand at the door to shake hands with people. Of course, some people won't come by because they knew I was standing at that door, you know. And families would come in, their parents would say, "Hello, Pastor, good to see you." And the children would come in. You know, children aren't hypocrites. There was a fight in the car, there was a something going on that happened, and all the children are upset, you know. To prevent that, I always bathed the kids, you know, on Saturday night, and my wife had all the clothes laid out and everything ready, and I'd help dress the kids. Because the last thing you need is a big mess on Sunday morning, you know, when you're wanting to go and get something from the Lord. So prayer, claim promises from the Lord, like Psalms 127 or Proverbs 22:5. You know, train up a child in the way they should go. It doesn't say talk up, train up. Too much talk. I think moms are the most guilty of it. Moms, don't talk all the time to your kids when it comes to discipline. Action. You don't have to ask them three times. They should obey cheerfully right away. That's what you're training. But you just talk. You can't reason with a little child. They need discipline. Let's see here. Ephesians 6, fathers. Ephesians 6, verse 4 and 6. Let's flip over there. Talking about fathers. I see sometimes parents disagreeing with each other on discipline. If you're going to disagree, parents, or if you're going to fuss about something, don't do it in front of your children. Do that alone in some other part. My wife and I got in a fight one time, and all of our kids were crying. And I felt like about that high. How many of you ever, anybody admit that they messed up? Yeah, evangelists. Hey, if you're going to get upset with your mate, you're going to disagree about something, don't do it in front of the children. Because that just hurts your children. Look here what the Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 4 to 6. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." How can a dad provoke his children to wrath? You know, if they never quite measure up, if they never are good enough, they become discouraged. They become angry. They're provoked because they never can please you. They never can do right. I think you have to be careful with criticizing your children. I think you need to find as best you can to encourage your children and things that they do that are right, and things that they do, and try to encourage them. A little criticism goes a long way. You can't criticize them all the time, or they feel like they can't ever please you. Provoke not the children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And those would be some good verses for you to study and to try to understand. Our children are actually doing better or wiser than we were. They don't ever call it a spanking. They call it a time out. Because in public, if you say to your children, you're going to get a spanking in the day and age we live in, you know, you can get in trouble. Even doctors sometimes have asked our children about it, and our own grandchildren. And the children say, well, sometimes we get a time out. Well, a time out can be sitting in a chair, you know, and that's good. But when they're talking about a time out, they're talking about, you know, warming the backside. And so we have to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. But I'm talking about as a parent, you know, teach your children the Bible. I think you can still get them from Abeka, but we used to have these memory cards. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. C, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. D, depart from evil and do good. You know, every one of the verses, the letters, has a verse. So we train them in memorizing the scripture. We memorize chapters as a family. We had family altar. We sang, we prayed. We didn't make it long, you know, but we had fun. We played games as a family. We did a lot of things together that way. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7 talks about being a pattern. Let's just flip over there. My dad was a builder. If he wrote pattern on it and you cut that, you were in big trouble. Dad would write big letters on it, pattern, because that was back in the days when Dad laid the pattern on it and drew a line, and then everything was the same. And so it was used as a pattern. You're to be the pattern. You're to be the example. And if you look at Titus chapter 2, just notice in verse 7, and there's a lot of other places, realize that you are the example. You are the pattern. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. What's that mean? You're the example. You can't expect your children to do right if you're not doing right. You're the example. Your children want to be like you. There's a natural instinct within children to want to love and to want to be like their parents. And so use that to your advantage by setting the right pattern, by setting the right example. I had a bunch of teenagers with me one day in a van, and thankful this is one time that I did right. We got a flat tire, and I got out to fix the tire. One of the boys spoke up and said, "Man, that's amazing." My son said, "What's amazing?" He says, "Your dad didn't get mad. He didn't kick the tire. He didn't swear. You know, he just changed the tire and seemed to be happy about it." And what good does it do to get mad about it? The tire's flat, you got to change it. But he was showing what his parents acted. He's telling us what he had seen, how you respond when things don't go your way. So just a thought. I hadn't thought about that in years, but I've just asked the Lord to give me some thoughts, a pattern. You know, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, and I think how many times I used to have it memorized, but it says over and over again, everything produced after its own kind. You're going to produce a child that's like you. And everything produced after its own kind. And so I would encourage you to be the right type of Christian. Another P, not only the pattern, but praise. We're always trying to praise the Lord for all the good things that God does for us. And you want to teach your children to be a person that praises the Lord, like Psalms 150 or Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, or 1 Thessalonians 5:8 that tells us that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me read that verse for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks. That's not always easy, is it? But if you can give thanks to the Lord in the difficult things, you won't have problems in the good things. If your children seeing you're giving God thanks and you're praising the Lord, I mean, our home ought to be a little bit of heaven. And we just loved our kids. We had a lot of fun. We played games together. We didn't have the money to do something. Hey, one time we wanted to go on vacation. We didn't have any money. You know what we did? We went and picked wild blueberries. We had this little thing that had these little wires. Maybe some of you have seen it. And you lay a flat pan, it was about this big, down underneath it, and you rake it. And my wife said, yeah, but look at all that mess that you got in there. You know, my wife's pail will be perfectly clean. I said, yeah, but I got 4 or 5 times the amount that you got. She says, yeah, but we got to clean that mess. I said, honey, it won't take long to clean that mess out of there. You just set your fan, have it wide open. You put another pan under, and you dump that in there, and all the chaff just blows out. And you're left with the blueberries. We took the blueberries solo. We had money to go on vacation. You don't have to spend a lot of money to have fun with your kids. We set up the tent in the backyard. Tonight we're going to sleep out in the tent. You know, we went on a picnic. We went, you know, rode bicycles. We walked someplace. We went to some place where we could go on a trail or hike up. But do things with your children. Matthew Henry was robbed, and he gave thanks to the Lord. And he said, first of all, I'm thankful. He said, I was robbed. I'm thankful that it was the first time I've ever been robbed. And then secondly, he said, I'm thankful that they only took my wallet and not my life. He said, thirdly, I'm thankful that I didn't have much in it. And fourthly, I'm thankful that it was he who robbed and not me that robbed. You know, there's something to be thankful. And so... praising the Lord. Another thing is teaching your children Bible principles. Why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do, so that they have a biblical reason, a principle from God's Word for why the Bible truth that I live by is because of this principle from the Bible. And you know, a conviction is a personal belief based on a Bible principle. To teach your children to have convictions and the importance of them. I would suggest as a children at some age that you give your children allowance. How many give your children allowance? Okay, we never gave the children much of an allowance. But first of all, I wanted the children to have money to bring to church to give to God. Secondly, I wanted the children to have money to have a savings account and learn about saving their money. And it's putting a carrot in front of them, you know. And my wife had chores, you know, for all the children. And we had on the refrigerator, and every day they had a chore. One child for 1 week, you know, cleared the table. One, you know, washed the dishes. One did, you know, whatever it was. And you make up a chore. And if they did their chore, you know, then if they didn't do their chore, they would lose a little bit off their allowance. Now, we never gave them much because we didn't have much, you know. Our kid says, well, you spoiled Bethany. And I said, well, yeah, we had money then. We were poor as Job's turkey when he had all the kids. But the point I'm trying to make is you're teaching children responsibility. You're teaching them to do their work without being told. You're teaching them to have self-motivation to get the trash. Now, why do you have to tell them over and over again? Being an adult, you're trying to train an adult. You shouldn't have to tell them. That's their job. They take responsibility to do their job. If they don't do their job, if you don't go to work, it's going to cost you, right? We have to have consequences. And so you can use an allowance like that to help you. We tried to work on our children about this pride area. I'm probably not giving you the points. Principles and pride. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 6 that God hates pride. So we tried not to brag on the things that they were good on. Bethany is a real good singer. And she can hit high notes, high C and even higher. And we try not to brag on her good singing, okay? Brag on them when they make their bed or they have their devotions, when they do that which is right. Try not to compare children with children. Let me tell you something. You are consistently treating your children the same when you treat them differently. You say, how does that work? Well, with April, all I had to do was scold her and she would break down and cry. Gary, I had to give him two or three licks to even get his attention. So in order to bring him to a place of brokenness, he was a strong-willed child, but he's pastoring a church now, he's a great guy. But you know, you got a strong-willed child, they're going to need more discipline than one that breaks down when you just correct them. And so you have to treat your children differently because they're all different, but bring them to the point of turning from their sin and having a remorse about it. When we spanked, you have to be careful. You're going to discipline your children. First, send your children to their room because you don't want to spank your children in anger. You don't want to do it when you're mad. And while your children are sitting up there, they're thinking about what they did too. So give yourself some time to cool down, diffuse from the situation, to pray and to think about it. Then you go talk to them in their room. See, you know why people don't spank? Because it takes a lot of time. You're going to lose 30 minutes. Then you're going to go talk to them. You don't ask them, did you do this, and cause them to lie. You say to them, what should you have done? How should have you responded, you know? We already know what they did. You saw them do it. They know what they did. And so you talk to them about it. And you say, well, how should have you responded? And usually it was, you know, the kids fighting with one another. Sometimes it's just direct disobedience. If they directly defy you, you have to rise to the challenge. If you don't, you're going to lose your kids. If you don't discipline your children, you won't be able to stand them, and neither will anybody else. If you're going to have a happy family, and there's a lot of verses on this in Proverbs, and I was reading some of them today about disciplining your children. Now, let's see if I can find, where did I write them down? But if you read the Proverbs, the Bible says if you love your children, you're going to chasten them. If you love your children, you're going to discipline them. So, oh, I love my children too much to spank them. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, says in Hebrews that he loves you and he chastens all his children because he loves us. And so if you love your children, you will chasten them. Now, I think that you have to be careful. The Bible talks about a rod. Don't use a rod because rods leave marks. And somebody sees that, you know, you can lose your children. Day and age, we used kind of like a ping pong paddle. I broke that thing on my son, you know, trying to get his attention. But when they're little, you know, a paddle's big and you know where to apply. Don't come down on their back. Come up. Swing up on the bottom. When I was with Brother Roloff, I watched him spank a 25-year-old man. Now, this 25-year-old man was a big black man. His arms were bigger than my legs. I mean, he could have chewed up Brother Roloff and spit him out. But he had broken the rules, and they had rules. And he bent him over and whooped his backside. I mean, he was a little guy, but he could really land that paddle. He had a big paddle. And man, he could deliver that thing, you know. And when he got done spanking, that big black guy picked him right up off the ground and bawled and said, if somebody would have loved me enough, to do that when I was a kid. I wouldn't have been in such a mess today. Huh? Yeah, parent. You got to rise to the challenge and be the parent. Amen. Pornography, another P, pride. You've got to work with your children about pride and humbling themselves and loving others. Another thing I was going to say, you know, kids back when, I don't know now, but, you know, if they didn't have a certain little emblem on it, you know, or whatever, hey, most of our kids' clothes were either hand-me-downs or something we got at Salvation Army. Your kids don't need to have the newest and best. You know what that does? It makes them proud. It's better for them to wear something used and not be dressed so fancy. Humility is good for your children. And so anyway, another thing I want to talk to you about is pornography. You've got to be careful with what we have today. Pornography is ruining young people. It is a drug that's as bad as heroin. They become addicted and they have these the Bible says to young people, flee youthful lust. Pornography creates all kinds of desires but has no satisfaction. There's a lot of difference, young people, between love and lust. Lust is a demon. These women are devils. They worship them. They worship their body. They're false gods. They're idols. Listen, they can do anything with photography. I don't know this Stormy Daniels. That if you see that woman when she's all painted up, she's attractive. But if you see her coming, she is does demonic things about raising the divination, or they're contacting the dead, or whatever you call that. But anyway, if you see her when she's not all made up, I mean, she is homely as get out. I mean, she's got about as much sex appeal as a brush pile. I mean, she, you know, but they can fix them all up, you know. It's all, nobody looks like that. I'm just saying, the devil uses that as a hook to get a hold of the young people and anybody. And we ought to be careful about what you're looking at, because what you look at is going to affect your heart. And it just consumes people. I worked with men at Union Tank Car in East Chicago, and they had a dirty magazine in their pocket, and they were always talking about the affairs they had with women. And I woke up, I didn't even know who she was. And, you know, if you don't even know where you were, what you did, how can you say it was a wonderful time? And that type of an experience is devastating. So be careful about it. As far as sex education, I think it was about the fifth grade when I took the boys and we read a book together. I can't remember what the book was. And we talked to them, gave them a little idea about sex education. And my wife did with the daughters. But as far as when little children come up and they ask you, we always answered their question to the least that we had to give them some type of curiosity to be satisfied. Don't sit down with your children and tell them everything. That, you know, they don't need to know that. You just explain things as simple as you can to answer their question, to answer, you know, their curiosity and that type of thing. But we want to teach our children to have a pure heart. We sang a lot of Bible songs together. You know that Psalms 19:14? Could you sing with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You can't be looking at pornography and have your heart and mind to be right with the Lord. And so we're teaching them songs and principles to stay away from that kind of thing, because it will ruin your life. It'll ruin your marriage. Another P would be please you. Children have inward desire. I've already mentioned this, to cultivate that desire to try to please you. And you could look up Proverbs 4:23 or Proverbs 23:26 would be good verses on that point. Peer pressure. Talk to your children. You know, there's peer pressures as adults also. One of the great days of my ministry was when I got to the point where I wasn't concerned about what the brethren thought. You know, you're responsible to rear your children, or pastor's responsible for his church. But do what you do to please God, and that's what's the most important thing. But peer pressure, the wrong crowd, it's very strong for young people. So you got to teach your children to pick the right kind of friends. Don't let them hang around the wrong kind of friends, because that'll pull them down. Peer pressure, you know, everybody's doing it, type of thing. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Rebellious kids will always get with other rebellious kids. You know, choose, even if you go to my son, you know, went to Pensacola 1 year, and then the rest of the time he was at Crown. But he was telling me about one of the young people he knew that was going off campus and sleeping with a married woman, and how that they could cut out a chapel by signing in and then going to the bathroom. And I mean, there's bad people everywhere. And so they have to choose to have the right type of friends that love God. The last thing I want to talk to you about is, I've got two more points. Pleasure, that have fun, play games, do things together, go on picnics, camp out, get close to your children. Psalms 16:11, we preached on this morning, that God has all pleasure, and being with the Lord is, you're not missing out on anything. We're happy in the Lord. The last point is pastor. Pastor. One of the best things that can help your children is stand behind your pastor. So many times I've had parents call me and they've got problems with their teenager. And they want me to try to help them. Well, I can't help them. They've cut all my legs off and run me down in front of the kids. I can't help them. They don't have any respect for me. Don't ever criticize leadership. I was a pastor. We had a teacher that was fending for her daughter and putting my daughter down all the time. And she said, Dad, she did this, she did that. I said, honey, I'm not going to bat for you. You go and talk to the teacher. Well, it ended up finally I had to fire the teacher because she was giving her daughter the answers on the test. And the husband then got upset and came in the office and said, this is one of the teaching methods my wife uses. I said, you know, I've taken teaching methods. I have a doctorate degree in education. That's not a teaching method. That is cheating. When you have a test, you write down, you know what. And let me say to you, dads, you're to be the calming and the stability of the home. You know, women are in a cycle, and sometimes, you know, they get moody or they're more emotional. Don't let your wife get you all worked up about stuff. Calm your wife down. Tell her you love her. Give her your shoulder. Say, we'll pray about it, and I'll think about it for tomorrow. You know, I've had so many times the men get all mad and worked up. I said, what are you doing in here? It's your fault. You're the one that let your daughter dress like that. You know, why are you in here upset with me? You know? And so dads, you have to answer for your wife. You have to answer for your children. But back to our P, the pastor. Don't criticize leadership. Back the teacher. Back the principal. I never went home and told my parents that the teacher was picking on me or this and that or other. If I got in trouble at home and my mom and dad heard about it, I got a whooping at home too. If I got in trouble at school. But today, parents want to protect their children and back their children. And that's a big time mistake. Children have to learn there's consequences and that life isn't always fair and everything isn't always going to go your way. But you still got to praise the Lord. Well, our time is gone. I kind of rambled a little bit. Maybe there was something that we said that might be a help to you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?